Good evening, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Roberto Rojas, and tonight we're bringing you Argentina, obviously one of the favorites for the 2018 FIFA World Cup, a team that has been historically dominant for various generations and decades that have produced some of the greatest players of all time. We'll be talking about that with more with our special guest, Nico Cantor from Univision Deportes and Copa 90. Now, Nico, before I introduce you and we get into the whole program as a whole, I want to let our guests know that this will be a solo show today. I will be doing the show tonight as our co-host, my other co-host, Joe Uccello, is unable to come tonight due to some circumstances that make him unable to come on the show. So, Nico, before I get into the show real quick, I just want to let you know, basically tell the listeners here a little bit more about you, maybe for those that don't know who you are or haven't seen your work or anything. What ties do you have with the Argentine national team? You know, what makes you a fan and a supporter of the team? So I just want to know a bit more background about that.
All right, so Roberto, first off, thank you for inviting me on the show to talk some Argentina. It's an absolute honor that you chose me to be the journalist that represents the analysis of Argentina at Russia 2018. So I am basically a supporter, of course, because of my family background. We as journalists, I think here is the most difficult place at a World Cup to really be objective with how you want certain countries to perform at the World Cup, because obviously your heritage and your culture and everything that you live for, it's put on the pitch. It's so nationalistic. You feel so patriotic for a country. And because of my family ties, my dad is Argentinian. My mom is actually Honduran, so I'm out of I can't support Honduras there. There goes one bit, and the other bit is USA. You know, I was born here in the United States, so I can't really root for Honduras, USA. So Argentina is my last card on the playing table. So I got to root for Argentina, but of course it's gonna be something extremely difficult for Argentina to be the best team of the 32 at Russia 2018. Just like at every tournament, it's going to be an adventure for everyone, especially considering the circumstances that this could be Messi's Cup. I certainly don't want to think that. He perhaps might have one more when he's a bit older. He'll be 34 at Qatar 2022, I believe. But a lot of things can happen post-Russia 2018 if things don't go Argentina's way.
Definitely, and obviously, for those that probably don't know the name Cantor, is obviously you're the son of the famous sports journalist and broadcaster named Andres Cantor, who really has been influential, I guess, for the rise of soccer in the United States. So it's good to see that that you, of course, are following into his footsteps and really being that I guess, you know, great journalist that you are, and obviously hope will be for the next coming years. So it's definitely great to see. And yeah, I mean, it's obviously a country. Thanks. It's obviously a country that really suffers a lot. It's a country that loves its sport of football, soccer, whatever we like to call it. And it's just really influential, and I guess, in society that, you know, every 4 years the whole country stops for a month to see how the Argentine national team does, and that has a way of influencing the country as a whole. So that's it's really a unique country that sometimes we fail to understand the big impact that it has on world football. So obviously let's go into the few things first. Obviously this is a country that historically has produced some of the greatest players of all time. Just looking at the historical record of Argentina at a World Cup, they were champions in 1978, won it on home soil, in what was a controversial World Cup as well, due to the whole circumstances with the junta and many other situations. Then you fast forward 8 years later in 1986, where a little man named Diego Maradona single-handedly, although you could probably be more objective to that, won the 1986 World Cup in Mexico, be it also in controversial statements as well. But then you look at the recent years, 1990 finishes runners-up, 94 round of 16, 98 quarterfinals, 2002, what really was the most talented side in recent years, obviously swept the whole World Cup qualifiers and ended up falling flat on their faces.
Yeah, crashed out with Bielsa.
That's it. That's right. 2006 quarterfinals, 2010 quarterfinals, and then 4 years ago, we go to Brazil 2014, where they finished as runners-up, only losing to Germany in the World Cup final. So, fast forward 4 years later, obviously, we still see some of the same names that has been on this Argentina side that we saw 4 years ago, you know, like the likes of Lionel Messi, Sergio Aguero, Angel Di Maria, Mascherano, Gonzalo Higuain, you know, Sergio Romero, obviously the goalkeeper. We look at the whole team as a whole. And I just want to let you know, and just go to my first question, of course. We see a mixture of that team and, of course, new members like Icardi, Dybala. You know, we got players like Paredes, Rigoni. You know, we got a lot of big players coming up that this team is just so good in depth that it's going to be hard enough to pick 23 names as a whole. So my first question to you is, obviously looking at the options that Argentina has, you know, we look at the attacking, it's probably one of the best in the world. We have players like Aguero, you know, Higuain, Icardi, maybe Alario if he's fit enough to start as a striker. But, you know, just going to the first question, what do you see Argentina starting their starting striking? You know, does Icardi start, or do you think that Sampaoli goes to a more veteran and experienced striker like Gonzalo Higuain and Sergio Aguero?
So, Argentina's squad going to the World Cup every 4 years is probably going to be controversial. Some name is going to be left out. I mean, like you mentioned, Argentina has produced so much talent, and now in world football, there are so many names that you can bring on. The team that's going to go to Russia is going to be the foundation of these three last teams that have made finals, including the two Copa America ones and the World Cup final in Brazil. And I think that core has been maintained for a while now. You give and take a couple of new faces. I mean, you have from the last call-up people like Mamana and Insua, you know, for these friendlies against Russia and Nigeria a couple of months ago. But you mentioned Leo Paredes as well. But Sampaoli has been calling up new names post-Bausa. Sampaoli has brought on people like Pavon, people like Pavon from Boca, Icardi, who, because of his romantic circumstances, has been a very, very controversial call-up to the Argentina squad. But there's just so much talent all around. I think, and the big question mark is going to be on Higuain, but I think that someone like Agüero and Higuain has to be his backup. Higuain, I think, should, for as much heat as he's gotten his way because of not coming up big in the most important moments in probably Argentine national football history. It's very doubtful. I don't know. People have put a huge question mark on him, whether he will make the squad. But he's so talented. You see game in and game out. Higuain with Juventus, well, not really recently. I've called a couple of Juventus games and I haven't been convinced. Every time that I see Higuain take on a defender with a ball at his feet, a one-on-one, and he messes up, you know, I'm thinking, imagine that at Russia 2018. But then again, he goes with Dybala. He knows him so well. 1-2 wall pass, and he's in on net, and he puts it in the back. So I don't know. Agüero, for me, is probably our most gifted striker. I think Agüero, and plus what he's shown during the Sampaoli era, I think he's the one that has shown most clarity in front of goal. So Agüero, and of course Messi. Messi is obviously going to start, but I think they're going to give the starting spot to Agüero. It's been a constant battle over that striker role. And you have to start asking if he's going to be accompanied by Di Maria on one side, if maybe even Pavon. It would be crazy to think that Pavon, with only two caps, these last two, the Russia and the Nigeria game that were the friendlies, it's gonna be interesting to see how Argentina plays at Russia 2018, because I think Sampaoli has been very he has stuck to his five-man backline, which is almost a three-man backline, which at times is so exposed in the back that it ends up being two defenders in the back. But I think it's going to be more of a veteran squad, more of a squad that we're used to seeing, at least names on the field. Maybe tactically it will be arranged a little bit different, but that's the whole key to Argentina's success, is figuring out how to make all these names play well on a soccer field. And it's almost inexcusable, you know, when you have so many big names on one team, it's almost inexcusable if they don't get to the results, which they really weren't getting in the World Cup qualifiers, but the World Cup as a whole was a whole other animal.
Definitely, and you look at the, obviously, let's go back to the striker roles. I mean, my God, what an embarrassment of riches Argentina has when, you know, if your third backup is Mauro Icardi, and, you know, if it's not Gonzalo Higuain or Sergio Aguero, it's Mauro Icardi. That's how great Argentina has been for various years and decades of producing world-class strikers, that they just will continue to do that for years to come. And you're right, of course, you know, you're dealing with, I guess, an Argentine society that is very cutthroat, that wants the best for its players, that, you know, they demand to win and that failure is not an option. That's something that has been, I guess, accustomed to. And, of course, having two World Cups to your country's name is something that gives you much more pressure to these new type of players that, you know, it's hard enough for those players to represent Argentina, but just to have the pressure from the fans, from pundits around the whole country, that it just makes it worse to come. Exactly. Of course, and yeah, and you're talking about a country that is has a lot of people, and when you try to convince the Argentine fans of doing justice and success, then you know you've done a good job. So that's the way I see it. And you know, looking at the star players, I guess you can look at Argentina. I mentioned the world class players that are coming up, Pablo Ibala, you know, Mauro Icardi, and you know, players like Mamana and Pavon, of course, you mentioned. You know, there's so many names that, you know, I think post-Messi and post-Aguero, post-Di Maria and post-Higuain, all those guys, there's going to have to be that one star that probably is going to lead this national team moving forward. So out of the names I've just mentioned...
Messi. It's got to be Messi. If there's anybody that has to put the team on their back at this World Cup, and especially given who Messi is, what he means to the sport, and that this might be his final chance to win a trophy with Argentina, he has to play the best soccer he's ever played for with the Argentine shirt on.
No, of course.
It's him. It's him or bust. I mean, everyone else can come out in a supporting role, but if Messi's not at his top game, I do not see this happening for Argentina.
Now, of course, if we're playing devil's advocate, and of course looking at a team, you know, without Messi, and I'm looking into a team without the Messi, Di Maria, Aguero, you know, post when they're done with the national team, who is that main star that is coming up now in the ranks? You know, who do you think it is? Is it Dybala? Is it Icardi? Who is it?
So, from the new faces, other than Dybala, of course, he's so young, but he hasn't really been convincing with the Argentine national team. Sampaoli has opted for El Papu Gomez from Atalanta. Many people might not know him because he hasn't been called up that many times. He played in World Cup qualifiers, but he's killing it in Italy. He's a wide player, captain of Atalanta, and he's pretty technical, but rather than that, he's just crafty going forward, and I think that's some fresh energy that Argentina really needs. He's 29 years old. He, I think, brings something to the table that a lot of players haven't brought to Argentina, other than the big names, of course. I mean, when you're talking one step below the elite, and maybe even El Papu Gomez is a couple steps below the elite of soccer. But if there's somebody that not that he's going to be the leader of Argentina, but can give Argentina something different, it can be of course, if Papu Gomez, Dybala, maybe Pavon. We'll see if Pavon gets called up to that final list of Russia 2018. But I don't know if this is going to be the World Cup for somebody in a lower role to take control. In Brazil 2018, we saw Enzo Perez kind of do that with Argentina after Di Maria gets injured. Mm. He played really well in the World Cup final, and there was a lot of hustle for him, but because of the big names and because of the importance that Messi has on the field, I don't think that sub role is going to be so important, because Messi can win games completely by himself and win the World Cup by himself with just a little bit of help from his friends.
No, of course, and then we see a team, we've seen that in this World Cup qualifying process, a team with Messi and a team without Messi is just, you know, it's incredible to me that they just seem so lost. And when you have these players just killing it week in and week out in various leagues in Europe, it's just, it's incredible, it's insane. So but that's just, I think that's just how big of an influence that Messi has with this team and has been for various years. Now, you look at the team, obviously Sampaoli is a manager that maybe will be playing with a three-line back line or a five-line back line. That, you know, that this team is definitely something that we haven't seen in an Argentina side in various years. But looking at the position, going back to Paulo Dybala, what do you think are his options with him, you know, given that he and Messi basically play similar roles, either as a number 10 or perhaps as a winger or even a striker at some point?
Well, he needs to start working that association, that relationship between Messi and Dybala, footballistically speaking. It's got to improve. I mean, Dybala and Higuain know each other well, and that's an argument for why Higuain should be in the final roster. But Agüero, Dybala, and Messi, that triangle up top is probably what's going to be key for those gears to start cranking and to start really being that dominant force up top that we expect them to be just because of the names. But they struggled in World Cup qualifying. Let's remember that Dybala, who got the red card in his first game with the Argentine jersey, I don't think they've had enough time to work that relationship and to really get it going and firing at all cylinders. Dybala is such a good player. He has so much promise, but it's a functioning thing. And I said it before, there should be no excuse that when you put Dybala, Agüero, and Messi, and that's who I think is going to be the triangle up top, there's no excuse that you can have Dybala, Messi, and Agüero up top and for it not to work, but somehow it just doesn't work. I mean, I think Dybala will sit behind Agüero and Messi. Messi's role on the field has changed a lot throughout the years, and he's more free roaming. He doesn't have to stick too much to his position. Dybala has started out wide. He would play out wide against Juventus in that very similar Messi position. It's funny because when I broadcast Juve games and I see Dybala up that right-hand side, I always say that Dybala's playing like Messi, you know, in his position, and he comes in like Messi, you know. He when you see them both cutting from the right inside and the ball falls on his left peg, it's very, very similar. Of course, I mean, Messi is 10 times more what Dybala is now, but still, it's going to be interesting how they function together, and that's what Sampaoli has to fix, or at least improve in these, 5 months and change we have until the beginning of the World Cup. And I mean, it could work, it could not work, it could be a World Cup where again, Messi puts the team on his back and it's only him, but we'll see. Argentina, I've said it for a long time, Argentina's Messi plus 10.
No, of course, and I'm sure you're not the only one to say such a thing like that, so it's going to be really interesting to see how a player like Dybala, who's obviously world-class and I think will definitely be a sensation if he isn't already in the next coming years, how he will be fit in that role that, you know, has been occupied for Messi for various years. Now, going to the back of the team. Obviously, you know, historically, Argentina has not been able to produce really world-class defenders in such a long time. You know, you look at the team that they've used in World Cup qualifiers or just in general, you know, you have a 33 Mascherano, you have a Nicolas Otamendi, who's been doing well so far at Manchester City so far. But you have players like Mamana, Fazio, Pesela, Insua, you know, and just looking at that team as a whole, you know, how do you think that this defensive unit will be able to work, you know, I guess, with this Argentina side? How do you see this defensive team?
Well, the big irony of Argentina at Brazil 2014 was that they were much better defensively than they were on offense. It was Argentina's defense that kept them in, and it was the pairing in the back. At first, it was Federico Fernandez from Swansea City. De Michelis had come in, and the other center back, I'm forgetting who the other center back was, but still, it was Argentina's defensive prowess that kept them in the World Cup safe. You know, they allowed very few goals. I can think against Bosnia, it was almost an own goal. Against Nigeria, there was one goal allowed. The second game in the group,
Iran.
Against Iran, zero. Then against Switzerland, zero. Against Belgium, zero. Against Holland, zero. Against Germany, one. Three goals allowed. And Argentina never trailed in Brazil 2014 until Götze's goal. Argentina trailed for a total of 7 minutes throughout Brazil 2014. So I think we get a much more improved Nico Otamendi this time. I think he has transformed his game with Pep Guardiola training him. I mean, Guardiola really does change players. Take a look at Raheem Sterling, for example.
Exactly.
He has made him into probably the best winger at the moment in the world. And he's scoring important goals, and he always comes up big. And I would have him on my team, Sterling, and I questioned him a lot. I really didn't think he was that good. I thought he was a lot of speed and not that convincing with the ball at his feet, but he has proved so many people wrong. He's so good now. Guardiola has really changed him, and that's what we see a little bit with Nico Otamendi. He has taken such a protagonistic role going forward, that being that playmaker in the midfield. The question is whether Mascherano is going to be playing in the midfield like he has been doing in Argentina for a long time, or as a center back. I think Mascherano, he has lost a little bit of his attacking sensibilities in his creation as a holding mid. Of course, you get that relentless effort, that cutthroat attitude that you'll stop anything at all costs, and that doesn't matter where he is. But he's been questioned that his playmaking level has dropped a little bit, because if you're going to have him in the midfield, you expect him to create some motor, at least be the first option to come out of the back to always give a good pass and not lose the ball. And in World Cup qualifiers, he gave up the ball in very difficult areas that cost Argentina points. I remember against Peru. And I think Argentina have better center defensive mids, or at least that deep-lying midfielder. The question is Gago going to make a comeback? We remember that he tore his ACL against Peru in Boca Stadium back in November. But Sampaoli opted for Gago. Gago was not a bad option, but we'll see if he'll make Russia 2018. But then you got to check Banega, Biglia. I mean, Rigoni played a little while in the midfield in these last two World Cup qualifiers and then the friendlies. But going forward, I don't know. It's between... I don't know who would replace Mascherano in the back, but Otamendi makes me feel safe in the back, and we'll see who he will be coupled with, either Facio or Pesela. Facio was they opted for him a lot. he's a decent defender, but it's a three-man back line, so it's three center backs, and you have Angel Di Maria wide on the left, and on the right, you have to think if you put El Papu Gomez there. He had opted for El Torito Acuña, who's playing in Portugal now, but we'll see how it would look, but it's going to be an attack-minded team with three center backs. I mean, I don't think Sampaoli is going to shy away from what he's been trying to work with this Argentina team. But of course, the center backs are going to be extremely important. But the overlapping players as well. I mean, when you put Di Maria as your wide fullback, he's not going to defend, naturally, by the characteristics of the player. I mean, you're going to have either Marcos Acuña on the right or maybe Papu Gomez dropping back a little bit more to help you out there. But there's a lot of give and take with this formation that Sampaoli is playing.
Definitely, and we have a lot of options to look at that it's going to be just much more harder to really field a really good starting 11. Now going to our next segment, obviously I think it's more of a culture question, I would say, and just looking at Argentina, obviously a country with 43 million people, obviously a country that's produced some of the greatest players of all time, and for some, I guess, you know, we view football, soccer as a religion, but for you personally, and at least how you view it, be it what your father tells you, or what you've known from your family, or when you've gone to Argentina, you know, what makes this sport so special in Argentina that it will continue to produce, you know, all these world-class players for various generations, decades, you know, even centuries?
Yeah, I think it's a passion thing, and it's also a matter of fact that a lot of people, more than the usual amount of people in Argentina, really care for soccer. If you grab a random person off the street, they are a soccer fan. A woman, a man, a little kid, it doesn't matter who it is. Argentina has invested so much energy, like the national energy, into soccer, because the Argentine people are very, very patriotic. When you're put up at a world stage for everyone to see, or literally half the world to see, it brings about certain emotions, and of course, because of the history, it's almost become like a legend in Argentina. You know, Maradona's legacy has been transformed into this iconic inspiration that people marvel in Argentina. It goes much more beyond a ball between 22 players. It's glory, it's honor, it's the representation of your country at what they do best, and that's why so I think so many people take it seriously. And the World Cup is probably the most important month for the entire country. And from there, I guess you would say that you have sub-genres of the type of soccer you support, because you have all the club teams. There's just so much soccer all around. It's like the culture is constantly surrounded by soccer. And it's funny, because every so often you get an Argentine that really doesn't care whatsoever. I mean, I have an uncle that has no clue about soccer, and it's almost like he's an outcast. I mean, you can not talk about soccer in Argentina, but you can't avoid it. It's part of the culture. It's, I mean, anybody who's listening, I challenge them to do this. If you're in a foreign country, and it's happened to me with taxi drivers in New York, actually, or taxi drivers anywhere in the world, but usually get a foreign taxi driver in New York when I was living there. And they ask you, where are you from? And you say, Argentina. The first person they say is Diego Maradona. They might not know where Argentina is. They might not know what language they speak in Argentina. But they know that Diego Maradona is from Argentina. So that's how important it is. From from an outside perspective and how important it is for Argentina's for the Argentine people looking towards a World Cup.
Yeah, of course. I mean, going back to Diego Maradona in just a bit, but, you know, you're talking about a cultural icon, I think, and not just in Argentina, but in Latin America in general, and in the sport. That just shows how big the passion of a simple sport, you know, that has been passionate enough to all these fans and everyone around the world who's Argentine, that it just makes them part of their life. That's just how big it is, I would say. And just now, going to our next segment, obviously the qualifiers. It was a tricky qualifier. It was suffering. It went through three coaches, Tata Martino, Edgardo Bauza, and Jorge Sampaoli. There were fears that Argentina was going to miss out the World Cup alongside other countries who did miss out, like USA, Chile, Italy, of course, the Netherlands, you know. And there was this fear that Argentina was going to miss out the World Cup that night in Quito. But there was a certain little man named Lionel Messi, who did the hat trick over there in Quito to beat Ecuador 3-1 and to send Argentina to the World Cup. So obviously here we are at the World Cup. Here we are 6 months away, I would say, from the time of this recording. We look at the group here. We look at Argentina. We look at Iceland. You know, this is going to be the ninth time that Argentina will face a debutant since the 1994 World Cup. They will be facing Croatia on the 21st, and then Nigeria once again for the third straight time on the 26th. Looking at this group as a whole, you know, I think many people want to say that the hardest game would be the game against Croatia, or at least the most important game. Kind of a two-part question. I'll ask the first question first, you know. For you, what do you think is the most important game to this Argentine side to get this group, or at least to have this group all settled down? Once it's all said and done,
I think it'll all come down to that match against Croatia, that second match. A lot of people are talking up Iceland because of the fabulous performance at the Euro a couple of years ago, but I'm not too convinced that Iceland can threaten Argentina. I mean, then again, I give you the examples of what happened at Brazil 2014. It was like Iran threatened Argentina, Bosnia threatened Argentina, but on paper, Iceland shouldn't threaten Argentina, and Messi and company should be able to pull off a good win against a debutant in their first game ever in a World Cup with perhaps a large portion of the crowd cheering for Argentina. Messi will pull in so many neutral fans towards Argentina. And I mean, there should be no reason why Argentina is losing to Iceland. And not to take any merit away from Iceland, because they've done a fantastic job at the Euros, and they've shown that they have a lot of heart. Argentina should win that. And I think the toughest game, from a soccer perspective, from a tactical perspective, it's going to be Argentina-Croatia, because Croatia just has so many talented players, technical players in the midfield, and then up top. I mean, you have Luka Modric that can win you a game, because they have shown that. I mean, they play at a level, they play with the best players, and I mean, Rakitic, you know, they are players that play in under elite circumstances, day in and day out, and that's probably going to be Argentina's toughest game. And then against Nigeria, that's going to be a hard-fought game as well. I mean, it's, what, the fifth World Cup in a row that Argentina plays against Nigeria in the group stage. I mean, we had them in USA 1994, in 2002, 2006, 2010, 2014. I really wonder what the Nigeria coaches, or at least the players, were thinking when they got John Argentina. It's like, oh no, not again. But hopefully Argentina will have 6 points heading into that match, knowing that they have a foot and a half in the door. But the key game is going to be against Croatia.
Yeah, definitely. And I think going to my next question, obviously Croatia are gifted with attacking players as well. You know, you talk about Modric, Rakitic, or Mandzukic, and many others. You know, I think going back to against the defensive question, you know, defensively, how does Argentina match up against against the challenges that Croatia offer in the attack?
I think Argentina just gonna have to be better on attack than Croatia will be on attack. We'll see who's gonna be the team that will hold on to the ball more in that game, because between Rakitic and Modric, you know, you adding Perisic in there, it's gonna be interesting who's gonna want to keep the ball at their feet and work it around. It sounds like Croatia could be able to do that, but I'm not so concerned with Croatia up per se. I mean, Mandzukic there definitely plays something different than he does at Juve. At Juve, he's moved out wide, where almost all his life he's played in the striker role, and I've seen Kalinic play at AC Milan and haven't been too convinced. But Argentina is going to want to hold the ball more during that game and not give it to Croatia, because I think in the midfield is where Croatia can win it between such class players. If you give them time to think, they can win a game. I think, to me, Modric is what, top two, if not the best midfielder in the world. So Argentina really need to be careful and see. They're going to want to, I think Argentina is going to want to set the tempo, and it's going to be a battle. I think that game is going to be a battle of who will set the tempo and set the tone for the 90 minutes.
Definitely, definitely. It's going to be a battle of two foes of really strong, powerful attacking process, and also even defensively as well. So now looking at two, obviously you look at a team that's talented, that, you know, we're looking at players to watch here. I mean, you could pick and choose anyone to be that player to watch, but, you know, simply put, who is it for this World Cup? One player that you have to choose, and why?
Out of the entire World Cup?
No, for the Argentine national team.
I mean, obviously, I mean, other than Messi, other than Agüero, the thing is that this becomes such a critical moment in Messi's career that there's nobody else that you should have your eye on. Messi knows it, and everyone else knows it. If he loses a World Cup, I really do think he will be undisputed the GOAT. Nobody else can come close. After everything he's won, he just needs a World Cup trophy to back it up, to really be the greatest of all time. The thing is, I don't see anybody at Argentina. You know, I'm going to tell you who's the player that you should be watching for. Messi's going to be that player that has to stand out above everybody else, far beyond everybody else, for this to really happen for Argentina. Because if it's not him, it's not happening. I mean, Agüero as well. I mean, you know, Agüero can have a lot of goals, but it's like so much of the focus will fall on Messi. So much of the focus will fall on the number 10 of Argentina, because I don't want to say it's now or never, because he could possibly be at Qatar 2022, but it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair to say that you should be watching for somebody else. I mean, Dybala is obviously going to be fun to watch because he's young and he brings something to the table that we haven't seen before, and we haven't seen Dybala at a World Cup, and he's very promising, and he has so much to prove, I guess, at the world's biggest stage. Because he's been questioned that with the Argentine national team, he doesn't come up clutch like he does on Juve. On Juve, he's nasty. On Dybala on Juve wins games completely by himself, and he there's moments that you see, wow, this kid is going to be so good, but hasn't showed it so far in the national team, and people have questioned that. So it wouldn't be fair to say that you should be watching somebody else other than Messi, because this is the biggest moment in his career.
Definitely, and you look at the storylines, I would guess, for Argentina. I'm pretty sure that storyline of Messi winning that World Cup and securing himself, because I agree with you. I think that if, with the career that Lionel Messi has given us for various years, we've been blessed to see him win Champions League, we've been blessed to see him win La Liga, you know, we've been blessed to see him win various titles individually as well. I mean, 5 Ballon d'Ors, my God. Just to get that one trophy that has always eluded him, that, you know, that we hope that he won't go down in history as one of the greatest to never win a World Cup. But, you know, if we're talking about a player that can go down as the greatest of all time, even surpassing Maradona, and that's big enough on itself. So I think that storyline will be big.
Not only Messi, I mean, he draws so much comparison with Cristiano Ronaldo too, but if Cristiano Ronaldo wins a World Cup, Cristiano Ronaldo is the undisputed GOAT. It's as simple as that. I mean, they're so even and everything. There's a really fun Wikipedia entry that's the rivalry between Cristiano and Messi, and they're so evenly matched at everything, at trophies, at goals, at numbers, at hat, almost everything. They're toe to toe. And if Ronaldo wins the World Cup, he's the undisputed GOAT. I mean, we could have an Argentina Portugal match. That would be in the final. That would be the most significant match in sports history.
Definitely. I mean, that's something, comparing it to great athletes like a Federer and Nadal in tennis. You know, that's how big of an important impact they have.
The only thing I was talking about this with a friend the other day. Mm-hmm. The only other sports rivalry that comes close from a player perspective between Ronaldo and Messi, it's Federer and Nadal.
Definitely. Now, obviously, we look at the team that they're going to probably bring to Russia. You know, as we know, as what FIFA has permitted to give to all the 32 teams in the World Cup, you can only pick 23 names. And, you know, with the gifted depth that Argentina has, you know, if you believe there's one player that will be unfortunately missed at this World Cup, who do you think it is? That we've been so used to, of course. Or even a surprise name that you think could make this team as well.
It's a difficult question to answer. I mean, I'd have to look at the list and see who. I mean, it could be Icardi again. It could be Higuain. Maybe, the thing is, he has, or maybe, it could be between one of those two. Don't be surprised if one of those two don't make the World Cup squad. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are constant campaigns for both of them. You know, Higuain deserves one more chance. He kills it at Juventus. Icardi deserves another chance. Forget about his personal life. He is a quality striker that could change the problems that Argentina have up top. And with so many forwards, if you bring all of those names, that means somebody else that hasn't had an opportunity with Argentina is not going to be on the list. So don't be surprised if you see one of those two people off.
Definitely. I mean, that's you can have so many good players, but, you know, you can only have enough for such a big event like this. So I definitely agree. I think it's I think it could be a win-win in this case. And, of course, finally, we look at what a World Cup means to the nation. Obviously, we saw celebrations maybe in YouTube videos or anything in the past of how Argentina celebrates World Cup wins, you know, maybe in 78 or in 86. You know, what would this third World Cup mean for Argentina, for a country that, of course, you know, have gone to 3 straight finals and have won none of it? You know, for a country that hasn't won an international title since 1993. You know, a country that's gone 32 years without touching the FIFA World Cup. What would a third World Cup mean for this Argentina side? And of course, I mean, for a player like Lionel Messi to cement himself, not just in Argentine football in general, but I guess in Argentine culture as a whole.
Yeah, it would mean everything to the Argentine people. It would mean everything to Messi himself. It would be the most important game of our lifetime. He would be up there with Maradona. He would be just as adored and revered as the president. Even, I mean, still, I mean, right now he's probably more revered than the president. But he would fall into that category, and it would finally give the Argentine people what they've been waiting for. You know, after so much crap that they had to put up with the press, with the people, I'm talking about the Argentine national team. You know, they didn't talk to the press for the rest of the qualifiers. I remember that at one point they said, Messi came out with a microphone in a press conference that from this point on, we're not talking to you guys. After so many finals lost, after so much hardship, one final one, finally, and especially a World Cup final one, would put all the doubters, all the haters, everything just to rest. And I think what they've been actively looking for, and this mentality of failure that this Argentina doesn't win, it can go to bed. But we're gonna have to see something magical. I get so excited thinking that Argentina, like, you know, in this discourse and this narrative that Argentina would win the World Cup, but I'm convinced by Sampaoli's Argentina. I wouldn't put them as a favorite. I would put Spain over them, Germany over them, even France over them, Brazil over Argentina. There's so many other countries that, as of now, man for man, play such better soccer than Argentina. That's why it's going to have to take something extra special, something more special than that happened in Brazil, something more special than what happened in all the Copa Americas. It's going to have to be Messi's best tournament ever, and Argentina have to come together and realize that this is one of the best chances we will have ever again with one of the best players to ever play soccer.
Now, of course, there's also that narrative, obviously, you mentioned teams like Spain, France, you know, Brazil playing much more better and being more favorites than Argentina. There's also that narrative where Argentina don't win the World Cup. You know, where do we view this generation of basically, I like to call it 1987-88, you know, with players of the years that they were born, Aguero, Di Maria, Messi, Higuain, you know, where would they be viewed? And then, of course, if we want to continue to talk about Messi as a whole, where would they be viewed in Argentine society and by its fans if they are unable to get the big trophy in Russia?
It would be considered, sadly, you know, it's literally gold or bust in Argentina. So it's like a failure, and failures are a harsh word, but Messi won't be cemented next to Maradona as the greatest to ever play. For the Argentine people not winning the World Cup, especially with the people, with the players at the coaching staff's disposal, it's to bring it home, or that's it. I think if Argentina don't win the World Cup, big change, a big generational change in this Argentine national team, and it's gonna, it might be time for Messi. You know, I mean, he quit the national team already, but this might be it. I mean, they talked about it post World Cup qualifiers that if they weren't making the World Cup, a lot of those players knew that the end for them, and this World Cup also might signal that.
Definitely. Well, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens if we see in Moscow, if we see Messi lifting up that trophy, or if we don't see him. Now, that's the big question that we're all going to have to wait and see. Nico, I really want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank everyone who's listening. This is for Roberto Rojas. This is This Week in Football, the Argentina show on the All In Sports Talk Network, saying good night and thank you.